Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Formula One Grid Talk. My name is Tom Horrocks, and this is episode 180. We have a real treat for you today, and we're having a fireside chat with a man who's had a huge influence on what you'll see on your screens at this weekend's Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. We have one of the managing directors of Tilke Engineers and Architects, Dr. Carsten Tilke, with us today. Carsten, welcome to Grid Talk, and thank you so much for your time today.
Hello, great to be here on your podcast.
Thank you. And just listeners of the podcast, just be aware that Carsten is currently in Bahrain, so there may be a little bit of lag or video issues during the podcast, but we will do what we can with what we have available. So before we get into our chat, I'd just like to remind you all that we do live reviews and previews of every race and qualifying session live on YouTube and on all major podcasting platforms too. Just search for F1 Chronicle or go to f1chronicle.com to find out more. Make sure you subscribe and click the bell on YouTube to know when we're live, and please consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you think we deserve it. So regular boffins of Formula One will know the Tilke name very well. So you've been involved in, or your company's been involved in, the development and redevelopment of around half the circuits on the calendar this year from my calculations. So how long have you been involved, and what role is it that you take in track design in general?
So many know my father. Actually, he's the one who started everything. Mm-hmm. And he's the one responsible for all this these tracks. I actually started in 2014. Okay. And my first Formula One track was the Baku circuit. So when I started, this was my full first project I was responsible for, was Baku, then Hanoi. But Hanoi unfortunately never mm-hmm. never came to life. Actually, it was finished. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't see a race there. And now the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
Those three tracks then, so they're all very, very, very fast circuits then. Is that kind of a trait that you see as something that Formula One should be following?
Yes, and it was also in the Baku circuit, not, but in the Hanoi and in the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix was also like collaboration with us together with Formula One. Formula One also starts to get more involved in the track ideas, track design, simulation, overtaking simulation. So it was a good collaboration with them together. It's also related to what you get from a side perspective. For example, in Jeddah, there was this very thin side where you have to use the flow of the existing roads. Also in Baku, in a street circuit, you have given roads and you have to use and try to make the most out of it. And I think we're really happy what happened there and how we managed to create a cool track.
Excellent. Well, we'll get back to Saudi Arabia a bit later on. I'm sure I do want to spend a bit of time talking about that. So what influences your decisions when you're doing these circuits? What types of circuits you want to do? I know you've got a massive range of circuits on there, from undulating tracks to flat tracks, high speed, low speed tracks. What influences your decisions on, you know, where you would have a left hander or a banked corner or things like that? It seems like it's just a huge amount that you could do. So how do you make those decisions?
First of all, what is many people think that you start designing a track on a white piece of paper, which is empty. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Usually we get first the most important thing, or one of the most important things, is the site we get. So if you get a site which has a nice topography, of course we can mm-hmm. ideally use this. If it's flat, totally flat, it's really hard to make ups and downs and so on, because you'd have to do then a lot of earthworks, which is really expensive, and you cannot do it because you also want to flow with the nature which you have. So it's really important. So what type of site ground you get, and usually it's, to be honest, not the best which you get, because you need a large piece of land, and this needs to be ideally close to a city. So this is very expensive and usually used for housing developments or other real estate things. So usually we get sites which nobody wanted to have so far, which has maybe a bad soil or something like this. For example, in Shanghai, where it was also swampy and we had to use these piles everywhere. So it's always a real big challenge to do it. So the site plays a big role. Also the shape of the site, topography, as I said, And then the other important thing is, the other important question is, what is the purpose of the track? What should we do with the track? Is it a track purely for Formula One? Is it a track purely for MotoGP or purely for as a club track? Or, and this is often the case, they want to have all of this. So it should be suitable for Formula One, should be suitable for MotoGP, and should be suitable for private drivers all the year round. So then you have to really think how to match all these three boxes. And this is sometimes, from the outside, people cannot understand why some decisions are made, because we need to make sure this track is operational the whole year, not just for one weekend or for Formula One. And this is, a great challenge to bring all this under one hat. But this is important. And of course, a street circuit is also totally different, because there you have the given streets, you have the buildings. It's really hard to make sure that safety is working because of the runoff you need. But the good thing with this with a city track is that this is usually just purely a Formula One track. So you don't have like amateur drivers going around with their own cars and so on. So the purpose here is pretty clear. So you can go more to the limit because you have the professional drivers. You can do what is possible with a Formula One car. So there's a lot of influences which comes also, of course, then the budget, the time which you have. Do you want to show the track? Is it important for Formula One is used for the countries to really show it in the world, make a statement? Or is it a club track which wants to generate money with the different club members? And it's a different philosophy behind it. But when you look at this, of course, what we always want to create is exciting racetrack. We want to use the nature as mostly as possible. So going up and down, I really prefer to have, a little bit hilly side to use it. But if it's not there, it's not there. We need to make the most out of it and make an exciting trick anyway.
That's fascinating. So, I never even considered about the lack of, say, club racing and just worrying about the professionals. And so the street, that'd explain why places like Saudi Arabia and Baku can get away with being so close to the walls, because you've always got professional drivers on those circuits. So you were saying about having tracks that are suitable for motorbikes and Formula One and other types of cars. What kind of specifics in there would you say are what you would relate to? I'm assuming you're referring to things like gravel traps and tarmac runoffs, all that kind of thing. So what specifically are the things that you would take into account of a MotoGP circuit over a Formula One circuit?
Yeah, the safety is even, not more important. It's wrong. It's even higher, because when you crash with a Formula One car into a barrier and you have 90 kilometers per hour, then the car is damaged, but the driver is okay. But if you go with as a rider from a bike into a barrier with 90 kilometers per hour, then you really have a problem. So you need to have larger runoff zones everywhere where there is a slight corner. You need the runoff, because the bike's getting leaning like this, and there's a possibility of that they fall, and they need place for that. While in a car with Formula One, we say, oh, this is a full throttle corner. We don't need runoff here. We can just go through. But even if it's a slight kink with for the bikes, you need runoff, and you need gravel, because the gravel stops the rider better than the normal asphalt, because on the asphalt he's just going over it, and the speed reduction is not so high. I know Formula One, they also want to have more gravel. I like to have gravel also directly next to the track, because it's it punishes the mistakes, and me personally as a driver, I like it, because it's getting more excited if you have directly next to the corners gravel. But on the other hand, if you see it from a, let's say, club perspective, or if you come with, like, you have a lot of people renting the track, going with their own cars over it, then you have a problem, because if they make a mistake and they're in the gravel and their nice sports cars gets scratches, you have the stones on the track and they destroy the cars behind it, and so on. So it's, gravel has also some disadvantage from this, and also from an operation perspective. Because if somebody stands in the gravel, then there is a red flag. Everyone has to go in the pits again. And if you have, like, just some smaller slots for, it's not a big issue for Formula One, but for, let's say, normal day-to-day track operation, you need to get the car out of the gravel. All the people who just have 2 hours maybe of driving time is have then just 1 hour of driving time, because two times it was red, you will lose the time. So you have to think about it from all different kind of perspectives. And I love to have more of these gravel tracks, traps, and it's good, but it has also disadvantages. And so in many cases, it makes no sense to do it from the overall perspective.
Excellent. So with all that in mind, then, so in an ideal world, if you're given a, as you said, you didn't never get this, but you're given a blank sheet of paper, where in the world are you going? You've been told you've got a Grand Prix in 2026 in X place. Where are you going, and what are you doing on that track?
Okay, this is a difficult question. Actually, we're doing at the moment one track. It's not a Formula One track. It's a club track, and this is, I think, one of the most extremes, or it is the most extreme track in terms of topography we've done so far. It's in Japan. It's next to Tokyo, and you know they have these hills there, and it's really, it took so long for us even to understand the site, to up and down everywhere, and it's really, and we have printed out a 3D model, because in the computer we couldn't see with all the height lines how it really is and how it works. So we printed it out, and we just made it tried to make it very simple to understand it. And this is it's a 3.5 kilometer track we have done there. It's not a track for Formula One, but it's 20% up, uphill, almost also 20% downhill. It has a cumulative elevation difference of 250 meters. So it's really, it goes up and down. And we actually, when we planned this, we thought it will never be built. And they started building now. It's Makarigawa. It's a name of this exclusive club, which it will be. And something like that, I think, would be really cool to have something really extreme in extreme conditions. Of course, this is, like, as you said, the ideal world where you can go a little bit more extreme than in reality.
So what about sort of city circuit wise then? If there's one city in the world you could go to put together a street track, where are you going to go?
There are so many cities. I love to go to cities. I think street circuits have a special atmosphere always. I'm not thinking that every track should be a street circuit, but I think the mixture of street circuits and normal circuits is good. So all these big cities, I love to go to New York would be great, but also all other big metropole cities in the world are amazing, I think, because every city has a different character. And I think Cape Town would be also nice. There's some, like, every track, there's also not one favorite city I have. Because all different cities have, for me, different atmosphere, and yeah, I love it.
So with that, when you are putting together, say, like, a street track or another circuit, how much in the way of kind of politics do you have to deal with regards to the owners? How much say do they have in what's actually happening on the tracks? Or do you just say, no, we have to have this type of track? Or you know, how much do you have to deal with in that sense?
When it comes to a street circuit or in general?
Just, well, in both really. Well, particularly with street circuits, because obviously you've obviously got the buildings that are there. You can't normally just move those buildings. But yeah. But yeah, and with regards to, like, and for an example, I can say, like, Circuit of the Americas, one of your tracks has got lots of undulation, which I know was kind of quite artificial when it was put in, effectively, wasn't it, to create this topography. And was that something that you have said, not you personally, but the company have said, this is what we need, or, you know, we need to have bank corners, or we need to have, you know, these types of things? How much do you have to deal with that, or is it very much kind of ordained onto you that we have to have this many corners, or we have to have this many straights? Or,
to be honest, when it comes to Formula One, usually is that we are, let's say, usually the people who want to have it, we are mostly responsible for everything. And now, as I said, also together with Formula One. So it's a process where also they come with track simulations, with layout suggestions and so on. So now it's like we work together with Formula One more than with our clients. When it comes to smaller club tracks, where also our clients are also like racing drivers or something like this, they are more also want to participate. And that's great. We love to sit together with them, make workshops with them, put the first concept in the simulator, drive it together with them and work with this. But Formula One, because it's a different thing, this is much more Formula One together with us designing the tracks. And as you said, and if it's a street circuit, for example, in Baku, the most important thing first is to find the place for the paddock, because the paddock is a huge area. You need a huge area for the pit building, for all these different services you need around, the media center, the broadcast center, the tire compound, all these different things you need to have. And then you have support paddocks if you also have Formula 2, Formula 3, Porsche Cup. So you need a lot of space. And this space, ideally in the middle of the city. And because you want to show the city, there's no point in going to a city and drive somewhere where it's not nice, where it's outside of the city. You want to be in the middle of the city. You want to see the city and to have the atmosphere of the city. So to find this huge place in the middle of the city is really difficult. And if you have it, then of course you need to see from this part, how can we make the most exciting 4 to 6 kilometers track? For example, in Baku, we found this huge square where now the paddock is, and it was really nice, directly on the corniche. And we said, yes, this is a great place. And then we had two different options. One was going around the old town, as we're doing it now, really nice, see all the beautiful buildings, the old city, everything. And the other way was going in the other direction, which was the city in this direction was not so nice. The track was quite 90 degree corners. For us, this track would have been much more easier to build in this time to make it happen and so on. But we really fighted that year for the other version. And we, at the end, it's then not our decision, but the decision of our client, because he has to say, yes, you're allowed to go around the old town. You're allowed to go there. And also, we need to pre-coordinate this with FIA, because they need to allow, and they need to, at the end, they have the final say in, yes, you get the grade one certificate to host a Formula One race, because they are the safety instance around it. And I remembered I was with Charlie Whiting that time. I was, I don't know, 6-7 times there, and we closed streets at night at 3, and put some cones there to make sure how can we go and really make the track in the direction of the runoff, which was totally in the wrong direction, because there was a building where the runoff was supposed to be, and how can we make this narrow turn around the old town, which is only 7 meters, and normally you have to have 12 meters. So it was so narrow there, and everyone said, no, it's not possible, you cannot do it, and so on. But at that time, Charlie, my father, me, we really fighted for this variant, because we thought this will produce such a great atmosphere, such a cool, unique features. For us, it was a lot of sleepless nights and how can we make it happen and so on. So it was really, really difficult. And if we would have taken the easy way, would have been fine for us to just do the other things. But we also want to fight for the good things. We do it because it's our passion to create something cool. And this is what we did together with Charlie. Without him, I think it would not have been possible to create this track. And then we had this special things in the street. There were like cobblestones on two areas. And our client said, yeah, but the cobblestones, they have to stay. We cannot remove the cobblestones. And we said, oh, but we cannot race over the cobblestones. So we had to promise the president and the first lady that we will asphalt over it. And afterwards, we remove it so it looks exactly the same some weeks after the race, because they are responsible for the atmosphere of the city. And they said, no, this is like our history and we want to keep it. So we had to have to think about this. And it was really, really challenging. But at the end, we made it happen. And I think it's a good, cool track and something different, and was worth fighting for it.
So you say then the asphalt around sort of the old town area there, that's temporary. It comes up after every race. Is that what you're saying?
That was the plan, to be honest. That was the plan. But They did it once, but moved it. But then they left it because all the cars going around, for them, it was so much nicer to go over the asphalt than these cobblestones. Actually, they were not old, but they were, they wanted to have them there. So it's, now it's in some places they remove it, and in the other place it just stays because it's more convenient for them to go over the asphalt than over this cobblestones where it gets loud and it's so bumpy and so on. Mm-hmm. So
it's fascinating.
But it
stuff.
Was built for them. It was built for that we can remove.
Wow, that's really interesting. So as well, it's fair to say that there's been mixed reactions to your circuits and over the years of the Tilke company. There's some tracks like Kota and Sakir and Baku as well that seem to be just universally loved and adored by most people. But then you get other tracks, say like Yas Marina, Sochi, and to some degree like Circuit de Catalunya as well, which I know you've had some influence in as a company, that are not quite so loved, should we say. What do you think of the factors that come into that? Is that down to the car, or is it down to the existing layout of the topography there? Or what do you think is the reason why some tracks are more successful than others, from a Formula One perspective at least?
Yeah, it's right. It's from a Formula One perspective, and because if you go with a GT car, and I've driven it a lot of times over the Yas Marina circuit, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging. And sometimes we design things which we think will work, or it's like a corner which you think like this is very challenging, and it's the drivers have to lift and something like this. And then when the track is built 2 years later, it's easy for them to go through it because aerodynamics has changed, and corners like En Rouge are now easy to go, and in the past they were very hard and excited to go. So there's some of course changing in that. And also sometimes when we, I think in Yas Marina it was, we tried to use some off camber corners, which at that time we thought was the way to make it more exciting. But then with also the new aerodynamics and so on, it seemed it even get worse for staying behind the other cars. So I don't know. Sometimes it's some criticism, as I said, is and we listen to it, but some criticism is because you just watch with it from the Formula One perspective and not from the overall perspective, what you want to do there. As I said, it's not a white piece of paper and you think you can do it. There's a lot of criticism sometimes where people say, oh, this track is so flat. Why is this, it's boring because it goes no up and down. Yes, but if it's not, if that's the side we have to work with, then it cannot go up and down. Sometimes it's, you're limited in what you're doing. And of course, also philosophy changes over the years, also of track design, of everything. And but I'm not that I personally would say there are these bad tracks or good tracks. It's you can have good races in all tracks, and sometimes you have also boring races. It's like that. Baku the first year was very boring, the race. Everyone expected it to be very exciting because the Formula or GP2 race that time was not so, was really exciting. And Formula 1 was so boring the first year. For us, it was very exciting because we wanted to see if everything is really working. But the years 2, 3, 4 was the most exciting races of the season. So it's you can only do your best, and then hopefully you have a good races. And last year there was almost every race was really good because of the fights. But if the Formula One per se is a boring season, then the tracks will not produce the most interesting races. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even the tracks like Spa, for example, in recent years have not been particularly exciting. I know we didn't really get technically a race there last year, but in previous years as well, it's not really been the most exciting, yet it's still up there as one of my favourite circuits, and if not my favourite circuit. And, you know, Silverstone is often referred to as a great circuit as well, and that sometimes can have dull races. And yet, obviously, Sochi, quite a heavily criticised track, produced a brilliant race last year. So it's very much, I think, probably what you're getting at there is very much down to the cars and the racing from a Formula One perspective, because
it was also difficult because there was also so many restrictions with this with this stadiums all around. You have to go around all of them, and the asphalt also played a role, because the asphalt there was no real tire wear, so the tires were not going down, so you had not usually if somebody's on better tires and the other one is on worse tires, then you will be much faster and you can go overtake him. But if the tires stay almost the same level, then it's then you don't have so many overtakings and not so much different strategies and so on. So also this we learned from Sochi from the aggressiveness to the tires to do something to the asphalt.
And obviously you've made a lot of changes to Abu Dhabi as well, the Yas Marina circuit for last year. I don't know if you were directly involved in those changes, were you, or was that something separate?
No, we did the first concepts some years ago, actually together with Charlie Whiting also, because we worked closely with him on that, what to do, and then we were then not involved in really detailing out these changes and doing the actual changes.
Okay.
So that we were not doing, but we were involved in the initial concepts. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what's, without breaching any non-disclosure agreements, obviously, what's next for the Tilke Industries when it comes to track designs? What's next in the next few years and next decade planned in Formula One?
I don't know. I can only, maybe much better than me what's all in the press where people are laughing about. Formula One needs to get agreements with them, and if they get agreements other destinations, then hopefully we get involved. I think it's for us always exciting and to be on new tracks in new countries, new cultures. It's always different. We've been all around the world, and I think this is a really cool thing for our job, is to meet all these different people and work with them together on a project which is, from the time scale, is very, very short. This is, I think, one of the most challenging things, to make it happen in this short time in the right quality. Saudi was crazy to make this in eight months. We had to make this happen, but this was hopefully we never do something like this again, because it's more time, and we had so many sleepless nights because we have to work, had to work with the whole team. We had 20 people on site. We had the whole 30 people in the office working on that day and night to make it happen, and the whole construction companies and everyone has to give everything to make this happen in this time, because it was not existing streets. Actually, it's a street circuit, but we built the streets, everything new, and we had to build them 1.5 meters higher than they used to be, because we were told to integrate also a drainage system, because sometimes it can rain, and if it's raining, then everything is flooded there. So to make the drainage happen, we need to raise the track. So it's actually most of the track is completely built new. It's like a new track. It's not like Baku, where you have the existing streets and you just mill the last layers of the asphalt and you make everything smooth and with the right mixture and grip level. This was like almost more compared to a new circuit. But of course, in the city, with a very small plot of land, very thin, to make it happen. Yeah,
I was actually going to move on to Jeddah next anyway, so I'm glad you've kind of naturally transitioned into that. So that's very helpful. So how did it go last year? Obviously, I know that the timescales were incredibly tight. I was going to ask you about what challenges you had, but you've pretty much already answered that. So how did it go last year for you? And are there any changes for this year to the circuit, or is this pretty much as we saw it a few months ago?
As I said, it was time-wise, it was crazy. We've done, as you said, a lot of tracks, a lot of Formula One tracks, and it was always it is very tight, but this was incredible tight, 8 months, and we cannot finish, as you know, 1 weekend later. We cannot finish 5 days later or 3 days later, because when Formula One is coming on Thursday, they will take over the track. They will have the inspections 2 weeks before. They come with their cables. It's like Formula One is like a plug and play system. They come and everything needs to work, because they need to move on very fast, and they come, they don't have time. Everything needs to work. And this is where I think we are really good at, because we have the experience in how to make it work. But this was also for us, has never been done before so fast. And we had our best people there. As I said, it's only possible to have this great team around us, our team, but also the other teams, the Ministry of Sport, the local motorsports federation, the ZAMF, and the construction company, and so on, because everyone needs to work, needs to make fast decisions, needs to, if some part is not working, then the whole is not, it's not working. But yeah, we were quite happy. The asphalt was good. The race was good. It was very challenging for the drivers. Feedback was, and you saw it when they came out of the cars, how exhausted they were after this race. It's not so, you don't have not so much pauses. You have to really concentrate all the time. Yeah, it's, even if you have the full throttle sections, it's most of the time corners. So you have to really concentrate. You have to be focused all the time. And yeah, we did small changes, not big changes. We had only 3 months, to be honest, from the last race to this race here. In some corners, we moved the walls a little bit, so the corridor is a little bit bigger to get better sight lines. But the white line stays as it is. So it is, and we just moved it like 1.5 meters. So it's will be no track limits issues, but you will see better. I think this was a point which the drivers raised, and I think it was a valid point. And everywhere we could, we moved it. Of course, it's so tight everywhere that there's not so much room, but in many corners we moved it a bit, and we also increased the track width on the last corner, so the exit of the last corner to the start and finish. This was, I think, where Max crashed in the qualifying. In this point, because we don't have the space given when we build it, we had only, I think it was only 10 meters. Now we, because they moved the grandstands and so on, we have 12 meters. So we have, this is the only like real change. All the others is just a movement of walls, but not the track does not change.
Right, okay. So it's just kind of hopefully just improving the visibility slightly across the track, which is great. Yeah. I've got a few questions from a few other people involved in the Grid Talk community. We've got a community of fans and podcasters who have sent some questions in for me to ask if that's okay with you. So we've got George Howson has asked, what influences your father had on you, and what did you do to prepare to take on this role, like qualification wise?
Yeah, to be honest, my father always told me I should do something else, because it's so so stressful and challenging. And I studied civil engineering. I also raced myself, so for me it was just a great it's also a great passion. So on the one hand side engineering, on the other side racing. So I think I'm really I was really a lucky guy to come in this position to work on racetracks, and it makes so much fun. And also together with my father, we're doing a lot of things together, but also everyone is doing their own stuff. And now he's getting more and more. Oh, he's more and more reducing his work, what he's doing. But of course, he's at the end, he's also involved all the time. Does this answer the question? I don't know. Did I forget something?
Yeah, it was just what influence he had on you, and it seems like the influence was that he didn't want you to follow in his footsteps, but you did anyway. Like all good children, they just defy their fathers. So that's brilliant. No, thank you.
Actually, he was. I think he's happy, and I know he's happy that I'm in the business. But first, he said, "Oh, better do something else." So he never put some pressure. He never wanted me to do it. But when I decided to do it, I think he was really happy, and we have really good discussions on everything. And sometimes we have the same. Sometimes we have different opinions, but we discuss all these things together. And this is, I think, important. And sometimes I'm learning a lot from him, but sometimes also I think I have also new influences and see things from other perspectives, and he values my opinion as well. So it's good.
Excellent. Do you ever compare notes and compare tracks? Say, you may have designed Malaysia, but I designed Baku. Mine's better than yours. You ever have those kind of conversations? Or
no. But No, we don't compare it like this, no.
Okay. Ruby Price asks, what classic world-love circuits from F4 in history wouldn't have a chance of being built today, given current safety standards?
I think the most, and this is probably the one of the best tracks in the world, which is the old Nürburgring Nordschleife, which my father raced a lot of times there, and he loves it, and if he get asked which is the best track, he always says this. This would be great to see Formula One there, but it will never happen, and because we don't want to go there, and we don't want to change anything there. If somebody would ask us, hey, do it and make it ready for Formula One, it will destroy the character of the track. So I think it's good to have these tracks, and not all tracks need to be Formula One tracks. These old tracks are great. And but you see, the safety has improved. The cars are so fast. And this is, in some parts, not possible. So you see now there were changes in Spa, because even that was not possible anymore. And I think this is very important that, yes, we have new tracks, and every track needs to fulfill the safety standards. And this is the FIA who's ruling over it. Mm-hmm. And they are telling what is possible and what not. Of course, we challenge it sometimes, because we all want to have exciting tracks. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to get somebody hurt on the tracks.
Okay. So Owen Medford, another one of our panelists, has asked, what's the expected cost of a circuit build from scratch, including land and infrastructure?
So land, you can never take into calculation, because some land is given from the government, some land is more expensive, less expensive. Mm-hmm. If you take just the track, it also depends a lot. It also depends depends a lot on what you want to do, how you want to do it. Do you want to have really big things or not? We are actually we cannot really say, because this is something what our client is doing at some point. But let's say it starts from permanent tracks, maybe from 100 million, but it's open end. You can do the most crazy things. The same thing as if I ask you, how much does a house cost, or how much does a theater cost? Yeah, a theater. How much does a football stadium cost? It starts from, you can make a very functional football stadium, or you can make it. I don't know in England which one is there was one just built for over 1 billion. I think was it? It was. I don't know which it was. Tottenham, or I don't know. So they have. They have this huge difference in what you can do and what you want to achieve with it. This is the purpose again. Yeah, you want to show the world you want to make a landmark, for example, here in Bahrain with this tower and all this. This is also a landmark, and they put it onto their currency and so on. So this is really they are proud of it, and we are proud of it. And this is, or you can make it very simple, functional, and will also work. So it's, but if you spend so much money for Formula One, that Formula One is coming, and you want to present your country, then maybe that's the way. Yeah.
Okay. So Aaron Harper has also asked, what is your favorite Tilke design track and why?
Of course, I like the tracks which I was involved in. It's always like you have a history with it. So of course, all tracks, and I've so far just was involved in Baku, Hanoi, and Jeddah. So I like these tracks. I know you want to have straight answers, but it's not easy. I say for me, I like the ones I was involved with because I have a history. I've spent so much hours there. I was in Baku at night when they placed the concrete barriers, making sure they are on the right side. So I really went through all this process. So this was my first track, and I will always have a special, connection to that.
Okay. And Tom Downey has asked, what's current F1 track would you make any changes to if you could change it?
Never thought about it, to be honest. Which current track needs more changes?
Is there anything that you would consider to do to Monaco if it was possible, for example, to make Monaco slightly more exciting?
Yeah, Monaco is also an example. If, for example, now if we go, and this is also an answer to the question before, which was what is possible or what today possible or would not have been possible anymore. When we have clients who build a new street circuit and they go to Monaco, they come to us and say like, but this is possible in Monaco and this is possible in Monaco. And they do it like this, they do it like this. But we say, but this is Monaco, and Monaco has this history, and they know exactly how to do it. And that's different. You cannot apply this to a new circuit. And so in Monaco, I think it will be, I think there are some ideas of what to change, but it is so difficult to do anything there. It's so, if you walk the streets there, it's so tight and so everything together. I think it would be good for racing to change something, but for history, it's a history track. Yeah.
I've got one more question which is from Anthony Durkin, who's from the F1 Armchair Experts Facebook group. He's asked, what is the challenge when designing a circuit? Are you looking to push driver skill or push cars to the limits?
Both. First, of course, is the driver's skill to make it really challenging. But on the other hand, also to create something which creates a different maybe setup of the car. Yeah, if you have long straights, and then you have also very fast corners where you need a lot of downforce, it's also nice to create something where the setup is not really clear, and there are parts where you're better with this setup and others with this setup. So to create different strategies, I think this is really interesting. And we also try to make the pit entry and exit as short as possible, to encourage more stops, to go on different strategies with other tires. So we really try to do here something to challenge the cars, the engineers, and on the other hand also the drivers, as you see in Saudi Arabia, where they, after the qualifying and after the race, everyone was so exhausted. Of course, climate is also important then for them, but also the layout.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So we just had the first race of the season. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you thought about that. I know we had a quick brief chat about it before we started recording, but the new F1 is here. How excited about you for the new F1? And I'm going to ask you for a quick prediction about what you think is going to happen at Saudi Arabia this weekend.
I think the race here in Bahrain was brilliant. was really nice. The new cars seem to work. We will see it in the next races, but for the first race, it was really, really good. I love to see Ferrari again in front, or at least fighting. Would be so cool to have these three different teams fighting against each other for podiums. I think Mercedes, they will catch up very, very soon. Red Bull is very strong, but also the other teams like Haas and Alfa were really good, and everything is closer together. Hopefully McLaren will get better soon, because I also like to see them more in front. We had so much overtakings. Also, I don't know how much overtakings actually. Probably someone will count it, but and on all different kinds of the circuit, there was not just one part where all the overtakings were. No, there were all overtakings at different parts of the circuit, and the circuit looked great. It's from 2004, so 18 years, and still the same asphalt. Still, it looks like the first year. The Bahrainis are doing a really, really good job in maintenance and everything. So I think it was a successful and exciting race, and we looking forward to the whole season now. Hopefully it continues like that. Also in Saudi Arabia is faster, so really fast flowing sections. Yeah, will be, I think Red Bull will be good, but the Ferrari engine seems to be very good, so that will be also important in Jeddah. So yeah, we'll be close, I think.
So great fence sitting on the fence there. So that's fine. I can't pick it either. I can't pick out a winner at all for this weekend. I'd like to say the McLarens will be up higher, but I'm not sure they will. I think they've got some fundamental problems there. But that's everything for today. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. You can follow us on Twitter at F1 Chronicle, and I'm at Tom Horrocks F1 if you people at home want to follow me as well. Carsten, where can people find more about you and your company?
You can just visit our website, tilke.de. Yeah, you can also follow me on Instagram, Carsten Tilke, and yeah, I will also try to provide some insights through my Instagram account. I will fly to Jeddah tomorrow morning, so I will do some videos from the track. We'll show a little bit about the small modifications, what we have done, and also, yeah, give a little bit of insight of what we are doing, where am I traveling, and so far. So yeah, follow me if you like, and yeah. Thank you very much, Tom. Was a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure for you as well. And thank you very much. We will be back Saturday with our qualifying review from the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you very much, everyone, and goodbye.